Welcome once again to JFG Afterglow, and this time around we're kind of on a more somber topic, and one that Grandma just said before we started, let's get through this. We need to get this done. This was a huge part of Joplinville Gospel's history, and so it's something we do need to cover, but we also don't want to spend so much time on probably, for most of us, one of the worst days we've ever experienced. And so I just wanted to start by saying we're just going to cover, especially in this episode, the events that each of us have experienced that night of the tornado, and then we wish to honor everyone that we lost and everyone in the whole city that was affected by the storm and by everything that happened. And so we understand the heaviness, especially this time of year, as we're approaching the anniversary now. We understand the heaviness of this topic, and so as we dive in, we understand there may be tears shed, there may be memories we haven't talked about in a long time. So bear with us, and we'll try to get through this. But I did want to start. We're going to start and just introduce, just in case you don't know who we are or haven't caught the first couple episodes. A few of us are familiar, but go ahead, Chance.
Chance, co-podcast. You don't see me very much because I like to be behind the camera. I got a voice for radio, so face
for radio. Yeah.
I'm Josh, and I am the pastor here at Joplinville Gospel.
I'm Joyce Myers.
That's enough, right? That's enough.
Yeah.
And I'm Clayton, and me and Sister Joyce, my grandma here, we did the last time talking about the history of the church, and which led us right up to this point of the Joplin tornado. So we are on Michigan Street in Joplin, Missouri, and that's where the church is located, and so had been there for, what were we guessing, 12 years roughly, and before May 22nd. And so I wanted to start with Chancellor. Chance, you guys had been coming to our church, to Joplinville Gospel, for how long do we think before the tornado happened?
Maybe a couple months.
Just a couple months.
So fairly new.
Y'all are fresh. Yeah. Right, fresh. Now obviously we all knew your family and you knew us, and so it wasn't like a stranger situation, but you guys were pretty fresh into the Joplinville Gospel culture, right?
We had an in, if you would.
You knew some people knew some people, right? Yeah. So I wanted you to go ahead now. Do you know how old you were when this happened?
Seventh grade.
Okay. I knew
whatever
I was.
Whatever age you are in seventh grade.
Yeah.
32 for Chance.
Yeah. I knew
I'm
bad at
the maths.
I was getting ready to be a senior in high school, junior in high school. It was the last few days of my junior year. So you're in seventh grade, probably finishing seventh grade, hopefully, mm-hmm. this time. But we'll go ahead We want, I know you have a unique story. And so tonight we're just going to let and we'll probably, dialogue back and forth. But Chance has kind of a unique perspective of his experience through the tornado, and then we'll kind of move down the line as to what they all experienced. But go ahead, Chance, and tell us kind of what you remember and the things that happened with you guys.
So first memory I have of it is we're driving to church, right? We come from church and morning service, and my buddy and I thought it would be a great idea to have a fire in between services. I don't know why, but we're like, hey, we need to burn this stump out, and it's not going to do it itself, right? So we're burning the stump out, and it's kind of embering the entire time. And we go and leave, and if you don't know, I live around in the country around a bunch of fields, right? And they hadn't been hayed yet, so the grass was grown up. And we get to Shoal Creek, and my mom's like, hey, we need to go and put that fire out. We don't want to catch a field on fire, right? So we turn around and go put it out. And so now we're back to Shoal Creek, and we're heading to church. We're going to be late. If you know my mom, that's usual.
Wow.
Sorry.
We just lost a viewer on after that statement.
Yeah, sorry. We've changed, I think. So We're, you know, running par for course, and we get to Flying J, and about the time we get to Flying J, the radio cuts out. And we're listening to K-Love at the time, and the reason I remember that is because it's not local. And we hit Seek and find a local station, and we find out that there's a tornado crossing the range line. We have, like, this, should we turn around? Well, we don't know which way the tornado's going, so we decide to hold up in the gas station just down from Flying J. We get in there, we park under the awning where the pumps are, go inside. And it's no more than a minute or two later in my head, right? It might have been longer, but in my head, it's only a minute or two later that we get to where we can't see the car that we had parked, you know, just feet in front of us. And, you know, we went to the bathroom because we thought that'd be the safe spot. And I was like, hey, we just got to pray. And so we started praying. And I'll never forget, some guy, you can't see nothing. He ran outside and turned the off switch on, off for the pumps, which I never would have thought of that. And everyone's like, holy cow, why didn't we think of that before? But, yeah, we ended up hunkering down in the gas station there and rode it out. Our car was totaled, but we ended up making it home from the gas station, and we ended up trying to get into contact with family and friends, and that's kind of my story.
So you guys, as soon as the storm was over, you went straight back home and tried to, from there, understand what happened and get a grasp.
Damage to your vehicle.
Yeah, right. It ended up totaling my mom's car. We had in the windows, there were grooves from things flying past it, cutting grooves in the windows.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you guys, so you're out on 32nd Street, quite a ways away from where the church is and the main, I guess, part of the tornado hit, or the most damage was done, but still had car totaled from that. Was there, just a few questions, was there, was it just you guys at the gas station? Was there quite a few people actually there, or do you remember what that was like?
There was a handful. I'd say there's probably 10. There was me in the car going to church as myself, my mom, and my buddy Colt that was coming to church with us at the time.
Wow.
So, and then I think there's probably 10 people in the gas station. So.
Wow. That's pretty amazing. And I think that this may be something that reoccurs often, but for that night, it seems like there were these little things in everyone's stories that, like with you guys with the fire, and that just happened to make you a few minutes late, where if you didn't turn around, like, what's the odds, you know, you're driving right into it.
Oh, yeah.
And that's just, you know, some of those things that we probably will connect, where in the moment seems like it was just such a hassle or a disruption, and may have been the thing that saved your life, or at least, yeah.
And I get to thinking about it. My grandpa lives really close. He could have came down. We could have, hey, we put that fire out. But we turned around and went back.
Right.
And I was literally just thinking about that today. I was like, when I was recalling what happened, I was like, man, why didn't we just call grandpa to turn it off? Like, you know, he lives real close. So.
Right. Right. Wow. That's pretty amazing. So Chance, this is your story, and these things have happened, and so this is roughly 32nd Street, and you guys, now you're coming from Neosho area, right?
Neosho
area,
yeah.
So after Chance's story, I was going to have Dad Josh, who's our pastor, share, and he was a little more in the midst, actually on his way to the building as well. I did want to start with this, though, before he starts his. I don't know how far he's going to go into it, but if you guys know who my mom is, Sister Joyce's daughter is my mom, and she led songs, is one of those people that, like, it's going to take, like, so much to get her to miss church, you know, and ironically, like, Chance's story, the odds of my mom not being at a church service is very low. And just so happened that evening that she did not feel well. And so she was not on her way or at the church that night either, and which leads to why Dad was on his way there. And Dad, I know you can speak more into that, but it's just another one of those little, like, in the moment things that we never would have thought about any other night, and how that is such a rarity, just like going to turn around to put a fire out and then my mom happening to not feel good and miss a service. So Dad, that kind of leads into why you were on your way. So if you want to go ahead and start from there.
Yeah, so to say that Amy, my wife, would not miss church or rarely misses church would be an understatement. She's always there. And I'll be honest with you, that day she told me she wasn't going to go. And our youngest son had went home with Grandma and Grandpa, which was Brother John and Sister Joyce. And so I was going to go pick him up at the church. And I actually remember thinking, I can't believe Amy's staying home, because she was not feeling well, but definitely not to the point that she would ever stay home. So that was kind of
strange. Yeah, usually that doesn't matter.
She wasn't like sick, just wasn't feeling well. So she never would have missed on normal occasion like that. And even more strange is for me to go and Clay not to go with me. But I remember that the Cardinals game was on that day, and they were late in the game, and I might have even went to extra innings, but Clay looked at me and said, I'm just going to stay with Mom and watch the end of this game.
I was very concerned for my mom's welfare.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. Yeah. And so I went ahead and headed into town, and we lived up north of Webb City. And so when I hit the interstate, I actually passed my grandmother, who was coming from Carthage, and I passed her on the highway headed toward the church. And I came when we got into Joplin, I did not know which way she went or I went, didn't know nothing about the tornado. And I came down 15th Street, and the church was at 18th in Michigan. And I come down 15th Street, and she went up to 20th Street. And I didn't know this at the time. But as I came down 15th Street, I got close to Michigan, getting there close to Big R's. That's where Michigan sets the restaurant there. And across the radio, they said there might be a tornado that was out toward Carl Junction and headed toward Alba, which was out toward our house. So I was trying to call Clay and Amy to tell them to be careful and let them know what was going on, when all of a sudden debris started flying off some apartment buildings and hitting the side of my vehicle. So at that point, I knew that my son was at the church, my youngest son, Wyatt. So I just tried to get to the church as fast as I could. About half a block from the church, in front of a house, there was a ditch that kind of came up a little bit out of the road, and a tree fell across. I was in my wife's vehicle. A tree fell across the hood of it, and I was stuck there. And a board comes through the back glass of it, comes through the back glass of our SUV, and hits me in the head, knocks me in the floor. And I remember reaching up with my foot and shutting the sunroof part. And I couldn't get out of the vehicle trying to get to my son, obviously at this time knowing it's really bad. I had my foot against the door trying to push the door open, and finally the door sprung open. I jumped out. I can't prove this, but I believe I was in the eye of the tornado when that happened. And it was a second wave come through, and I just dove down in the ditch. And just a couple memories at that point that I remember. Soon as of course, the sounds were just crazy, and I don't want to get too much into that, because lots that were there probably remember all the sounds that were happening. But I remember looking up, and I saw the little chairs from our youth room wrapping around the neighbor's trees after it had already passed us. And I can just remember those chairs flying through the air, and they were literally just wrapping around the neighbor's trees. And then when I looked back across, the church was, it was completely gone, down to the point that it was sitting across the pews. It's probably the best way to put it. And I come across the parking lot, and there was so much chaos going on that one of the ladies from the church, who was severely injured, ended up losing a leg. I'll be honest with you, I ran right past her and I knew she was sitting there, but I did not even realize she was that hurt. Didn't realize she was hurt, and I began to shout for any survivors, and Sister Joyce and my son Wyatt were the first two They had a couple from the church with them, but they were the first ones that I found. And I believe it was Sister Joyce's hand come up out of the debris, and then she yelled, "Josh." Mm-hmm. And we got them out of there and kind of seated. And then, in all honesty, about this point, it was kind of funny. There were some that we helped get out, and there was a few that got out on their own, just kind of climbed out of the debris. And I turned around, and Pastor standing there, Brother John, and he had just kind of climbed himself, dug himself out. And he was in the middle of the foyer that we walk into. There is where he had ended up being when it all happened. And from there, we just, you know, proceeded to try to get as many people as we could out and dig and do the things that we had to do that night. And I guess I would reap some of the things that I don't think I will ever forget is the sounds and the smells of that night. I don't think I'll ever forget, along with obviously the people, things with the people, obviously you don't forget. I want to say God, one of the things God really did for me was really removed a fear from storms. It was a couple days later, we had to go toward Kansas City, and there was major storms up there. Matter of fact, they were having tornadoes, and we had to drive right through it. And I thank God for that. But back to that night, I also, I'll kind of wrap up with this, and then Clay can ask any questions he has. But I remember after we had everybody accounted for, we thought, in all honesty, there was one other lady that we found on the other side of the church later, but we thought everybody was accounted for. And I went to look for my grandma because I looked around and her car wasn't there. And so I ran down 20th Street and I found my grandma at 20th in Connecticut. And if you're familiar with Joplin, that's where the new library is now, is exactly where her car was sitting. And she was deceased. And she had her daughter with her. And it took us a couple days to find her. And she was so severely injured that they had her in the hospital listed as a female 35 years old. And she was just, matter of fact, I think she was 12. I don't even think she was 13 yet. And so that's why we had such a hard time with finding her. And I was the one that found my grandma. And we had people from the church that lived in the apartments across from the church. And so when I came down 20th, we ran into some of them, and they were all okay. Obviously very rattled. It was a night that forever changed a lot of things in our lives. And as Chancellor's story was, some of mine is that literally the difference between going down 20th Street or 15th is probably why I'm here or why I'm not.
Yeah, and just, I know I wasn't in the storm, so I'm not going to really share a whole lot of what we went, our experience, but we did come later, my mom and I, when we did finally hear, because if you remember, if you were around, there was no calling or texting, there was no cell phone service of any kind, and so when we did get word that there was this tornado in Joplin, and we couldn't reach anybody, we decided to head towards the church, you know, and see if we could find people and what's going on. And we had no idea what, you know, the severity or anything. We actually, I remember I was a junior, so 16, 17, and had the little Dodge Dakota, and driving down the highway, and I remember, like, of course, you know, we're trying to get there fast, and we're just getting just blazed by every sort of law enforcement and medical personnel. Sure. On the highway. And so, of course, we're like, something bad is happening. So we actually, I did want to say this since Dad said this, we kind of were able to get to where Academy is, about 20th and Rangeline, that area. And then, of course, from about there on, you couldn't drive anywhere. And so we got out, left the truck there, and walked from 20th and Rangeline to the church, which would have been 20th and Michigan area. And if you're familiar with how Joplin is, or the layout, the church, and you're thinking of where that is, if you remember where Dylan's was before the tornado, we were right across the street. Under and then the, right now
under the new viaduct.
Yeah, right now that that land is under the new viaduct, so you drive up and over it on 20th Street now. And so that's kind of giving you some landmark there. However, I'm saying all that to say this, that we did walk down 20th Street all the way to the church, and Dad said he found, which is my great-grandma, his grandma at 20th in Connecticut, we walked right by her car, and I think it's just God's grace that and mercy that we didn't know and recognize, because you guys know, but it was just devastation, and so that we didn't recognize her car or anything and just walked by it. After the fact, of course, we're like, how did we do that? But I think that God was just intervening. And then we also caught some people on our way to the church, and that was where we first heard news that we had lost people, was from some of our members that were living in the apartments across the street there by Dylan's. And then from there we got to the church and found you guys. But I wanted to just say that and kind of share that. Dad, you kind of shared your story. I don't know if there was much more to add. I know you always kind of said once you got to Big R's, you knew this is bad and things are really happening. And then
I would like to add, I was thinking a little bit about that. When we, there was a couple of things that were of major importance that kind of happened when we were getting people out and doing what we could. And the neighbor had come across the street that lived directly across the street from us. He wasn't in great health, but one of the things that I did was he went and got his pickup. Because I was trying to lift the rafters off of people at the time. Yeah, but John's shoulder was dislocated, so he couldn't do a lot, although he was trying. Little did we know, my arm was broke, but I didn't know that at the time. And but I was trying to lift the rafters off, and he went and got his truck, and we roped some of those, and it was such a big help. The other thing that was, and it wasn't, I don't mean this in a bad way, because I totally understand if anybody that was there knows what I mean. But I remember at one point a fire truck pulled up and several firefighters jumped out of the truck to head toward the church. At this time, I'm trying to lift the trust off of people. And I'm thinking, oh, I'm so glad they're here. And the guy's radios in, and there was such a bad gas leak, which you could smell all over the place. And they were afraid a fire was getting ready to burst. And so he said, I'm so sorry, we got to go. And they didn't even make it. They made it across the parking lot, but didn't make it all the way to us. And they turned around and left. And I was just standing there. I remember how hopeless at that point. I was like, what do I do at this point? And then some neighbors began to show up and a couple guys.
There was a man that come up over the railroad tracks behind.
Yeah. Never. I never saw him again.
Never saw him again.
Yeah, I never saw him again.
And
had a camouflage coat on.
Yeah.
And if I remember right, from hearing you share your story, that when you first finally got to the church after kind of riding it out halfway in the car and in the ditch and getting there, your first thoughts was pretty much everyone was gone.
I was afraid.
Like you were pretty certain with, I mean, if you guys had seen the pictures or you were there, you remember it was just, I mean, it didn't look like there was anything left of the church.
There was nothing left of the youth room.
Yeah, I was going to say, even the youth room, Dad said was talking about the chairs. That was about the only thing in the youth room we could see anywhere. I mean, the whole building, it was just a platform.
We had people out there.
Yeah, and it's amazing.
They come walking across the parking lot after the fact that I'd ran through there.
Yeah, yeah.
Two people calling or something.
Yeah,
So, Grandma, if you want to share a little bit, I did want to just throw a few things in here that was going on that maybe we want to remember. The first thing, Joplin High School had a graduation that day.
Yes,
that's right.
And if that tornado, because Joplin High School was very badly messed up, if that tornado came just a little bit earlier, man, that could have just done so much more damage there. And then a couple other things I was trying to see. I think I remember there being like odd clouds and just, you know, there was some odd stuff going on that day already.
There was some hail that looked like big potato chips.
Right, right. Wow. And honestly, if I remember right, there were even and I may be totally wrong, and I'm sure you guys can let me know. I thought they were more kind of saying that the tornado was good, because you mentioned that it was actually, there was more. Yeah, they thought it was going to be somewhere else.
I drove straight into it because you couldn't see it.
Right.
It was just a hard rain.
Right. So Grandma, if you want to, the last thing I did say, the day before, May 21st, if you guys remember, May 21st, 2011 was supposed to be doomsday. Remember, there was a guy that had predicted that would be the end of the world. And now we get those predictions all the time, right? But I don't remember why, but for some reason, this was one of those where, like, some more people had kind of publicized it and made it a little bigger deal. So I remember kind of poking jokes about that that day, like, well, it's the end of the world today, you know. But for some reason, that came to my mind when I was looking back, for some reason, that Saturday before this Sunday was supposed to be predicted to be one of those end of the world days, which is just kind of odd. So Grandma, your guys' story kind of interlaps a little bit, but you were actually in the building. And yep. So we wanted to just, if you can remember now, I went back to the church's Facebook and I was looking at posts from around this time. That morning, there was a post about coming to Sunday school. Mm-hmm. And it was just, you know, one of those church Facebook posts about welcoming people to Sunday school. And it just got me thinking, this is just a regular Sunday, you mm-hmm. know? And this is the day we come to church and we have mm-hmm. evening service, and we were going to have, you know, evening service that night. And it was just, you know, that when I saw that post, that not knowing hours later what was going to happen and how that day would change, it just seemed like another Sunday, you know. So Grandma, if you want to kind of talk us through a little bit of your experience there in the building and what you
and
can remember.
We also had a youth rally that night before.
Yep, the Saturday night before, yeah.
Well, we had regular service that morning, had good service, and then that afternoon it did start clouding up and it looked like thunderstorm. You know, we had like a thunderstorm watch, and then it turned into a thunderstorm warning. And I know we usually come to the church about 5:15 and church started at 6. And I had seen it run across the TV where we were under tornado watch. And so I had called John in there and I said, look, look here, there's a big sail there coming. So we immediately came on up to the church and he turned on the radio there in the office. And he kept watching the sail, and it looked like it was going to turn and go the other direction. In fact, that's really what took us all off, you know, off guard, because there were probably right before 6, it turned, but it come back around and started right through the south part of Joplin and come our way. The warning went off, the siren went off, and then it quit. And it was like, we at that time had about 20 people here, and it quit. And then 4 more people come. I think we had 24 in the building when it went down. And I know Wyatt was here, and every time that siren would go off, he ran outside the church. And so he ran out and ran out to the parking lot, and I went and got him. I said, Wyatt, come on back in the building. And I brought him back in, and we sat down for a little bit, and everything calmed down.
He's not the brightest. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, he was scared. He was scared. And he was probably not the only one, but anyway, I brought him back in beside me, and I set him back beside me on the pew, where normally I always sit, second pew on the right-hand side. And Sister Linda Shy was sitting right behind me on the pew behind me. And so we were sitting there, and then the sirens come again, and all of a sudden we could hear this roar coming. And John kept going back and forth to the front door, going out the front door looking, because he's always one that looks when storms happen. And about that time, we could hear something just coming. It was loud. And about that time, I grabbed Wyatt. He ran out through this aisle there, and I grabbed him right around, going around that corner, because he was getting ready to run out those doors. And I grabbed him, and Brother Graybell was there. And I think, let's see, who was with me? Sister Swift was with me. And he grabbed us and put us underneath that back pew right before you went to the foyer. And we all went underneath that pew. And that's where we took lodge through the whole storm. Mm-hmm. He threw us underneath that pew. We just, and I grabbed him, and we went underneath that back pew there. And from there, the roar just got loud, and it just sounded like it was hitting the building loud, and it just, but it was tearing everything up at that time. So that was pretty, it just happened so, so fast, but the roar was so loud. And, you know, I kept looking up because I could constantly see stuff swirling over my head. And it just got so dark, the rain started pounding, and then it kind of let up, and then it hit, it just like it hit us again. And that was the third tornado that I've been in Joplin. But of course that was, EF5. And it was the most powerful. I think they said it went up to 220, 240 mile an hour winds. And so anyway, after we were there for a period of time, we could just hear, you could just hear screaming. You could hear the sound and the roar of that storm was just outrageous. And all this time, my concern is I'm over Wyatt trying to console him because he's just really having a hard time with it. And then all of a sudden, stop, and things just got suddenly still. And I seen where a bunch of boards were on top of my head, and I began to kind of push things away, and I heard someone hollering. And it was Josh that had drove up to the church, and I heard him hollering as he come running up to the toward the side of the church, and I stuck my arm out and I said, "Josh, I'm here, and I'm okay, and Wyatt's okay." And he just darted over to us and started pulling stuff off of us, and we all kind of got out, and just we were just in shock, to be honest. Everybody was in shock. And we were just in shock, and I got out, and we were just beginning to kind of look at ourselves, us that were under that pew. I think I had a little cut on my leg. Wyatt was fine, nothing on him, and we were looking at ourselves, and all of a sudden I turned to Josh, and I said, "Well, where's John?" And about that time I seen his shirt. He was under some boards there that threw him back from the door where that one wall had fell, and he kind of switched some things aside, and then he got up and started walking toward us. His suit was tore, his legs of his suit was tore, but he was fine, other than, you know, his shoulder. And so immediately after that, we just, I grabbed him, we went to the side, and it seemed like it started raining a little bit. It was miserable weather. It started raining. We started then looking for people. We started hearing people hollering underneath the tornado, underneath the building. And we began to, you know, I started holding him. I held him back. And as they would begin to get people out of the building, I held on to them. There was children underneath there. And they were just so frightened and so scared. And I began to hang on to them, and people just started running from everywhere, trying to come over to help us at the church. People walked over, Jeremy and Mary walked over. They had lost their home. The Joneses walked over. They had looking for Austin and his wife and baby. And I think they walked down 20th Street with you, didn't they, or met you? And we had a lady that was out at 20th and Duquesne that was inside that station there in the freezer, Sister Donna, and she walked all the way down 20th, and she was just in a state of shock, and she had wrote it out in that freezer there, and she come down and walking, trying to get to her church. You know, she was concerned about all of us. So the main thing was we were trying to get people out. Some we got out just in time, some we did not. It was just a very devastating night. People started coming by. At that point, I think Lance Nichols come by. He helped us do some work. There was just all, Brother Marsh come up. People were walking up to the church, checking on us, helping us.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot to add. Did as you guys are doing this and everything, it's just it's pretty, you know, unique to hear everyone's different perspective and story. Would you say, as a pastor, now you can't prepare for anything like this, but you know, you losing members as well as lots of injured, and this happens not only just in your city but in your church. Do you think this was probably the hardest moment of ministry you've ever had as a pastor? And
absolutely,
yeah,
absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I remember, so after we had arrived, which is probably in a couple hours, I would imagine, after the storm had actually came through. And I just kind of looked up some notes just to clarify that the tornado was on the ground for 38 minutes in Joplin. Mm-hmm. EF5, over 200 mile an hour winds. And I remember Dad talking about the hail, that was a big deal too. And then it was rain wrapped. I remember that being the discussion, that no one saw it because it was just rain.
It was just wrapped in a wall of rain.
Yeah.
And I think that's one thing, while the radar wasn't picking it up. In fact, really, they said later, like three of them come together and made that huge one that come down 20th, the south part of town, and it was wrapped in rain.
Right.
And I think that's one reason why it was, you know, they kept thinking it was turning. And it just was upon us. It was upon us so quickly.
Right.
Do you ever prepare for it? You know, I know in days after that, we had so much business, so many phone calls, insurance people, like you wouldn't believe. And, you know, they ask you what you do and things like that. You don't know how to prepare for that. Hindsight, those were not things that you really thought about. And because everything happened so quickly.
Right.
I think there's some things that, without getting into too much detail, that'll like forever be etched in your memory. If you were there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The looks on some people's faces. I literally remember John and Joyce had a little minivan at the time, and there was a board that was like stuck in the headrest, right where somebody's head would have been in the driver's seat. And the board just went straight through that and was stuck in that. I remember that. The Carmonas actually had a nail stuck right through their headrest, like it would have went right through somebody. And some of the things like that. But I think there's some memories of just people's faces that are just etched. It was kind of a strange thing. I don't know if I've ever even told anybody this, but when I was going to look for my grandma, I was running down 20th Street, and there was his name's Ryan Huntley, but kid I went to school with, a good friend of mine when we were in grade school all the way up through school, and he's a firefighter for Carthage, and they were coming down through looking for people and helping people, and I just remember we just looked at each other, and I'll never forget the look on his face, like, I don't know what to say, and that's how I felt. It was right. Just, I don't even know what to say.
I think after I come up out of that pew and got out, and I just looked, first of all, it didn't even look like the neighborhood.
Yeah.
It just reminded me of a war zone. Yeah. It just looked like it had been bombed. I mean, trees were ripped up, cars overturned. It just looked like it had been bombed. I have never seen anything like that in my life. And yes, I think so many people, we were all just in shock, and everybody doing what they could do that night. And even though I look back now, on the fellowship side, there was my classroom, which the young adult classroom, and there was a brother in there, and he got out without a scratch. I don't know how that building lifted off of him without anything bothering him, but he was fine. And, you know, and then there was some of them under tables. And it was just amazing how it all fell and how, you know, it all happened so quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And to speak with what Dad was saying, I remember walking down 20th Street and thinking the same thing, that it just, I mean, almost like a zombie look, where people are just walking with a blank stare down the road.
Divine or loved ones.
Yeah, either, and just, I mean, some looking for medical help, some looking for people, but there was just people everywhere, walking everywhere, and smelled like natural gas, and there was, you know, great loud noises, and it was just, like Grandma said, just exactly what you would picture a war zone in a movie or something, but it was your neighborhood.
Yeah.
you guys have anything else to add right there? Because I wanted to get, I remember that we, I think from there we walked, after a while, we walked back to your house.
No, my brother came at that time.
Right.
And he took us.
We walked.
You walked, but I know
Clay probably walked.
He took some of us. Oh, well, you come with us.
Did I?
In the car, because I know I got my phone out or something. As soon as I walked in the door when we did get home, I had a landline, believe it or not, back then. But it was ringing off when I got, of course, my house was tore up and stuff, some of it. And we got through the back of it. I think Debbie and I, maybe Amy and I was with her. And I'm not sure who else was with us. I know the car was full. We just all crowded in there. And after we got the stuff pushed, trees and brush pushed around, that we could get into my house to the back, my phone was ringing. And it just worked for a few minutes that night. And I answered it, and it was Liz Majors calling up from Salem, Missouri. Said, and you know, she said, "Sister Joyce, I've heard you had a tornado. Are you okay?" And I said, "Liz, I'm okay, but we got problems here in Joplin. And we have had deaths in our church." And she just prayed with me. I just said that, and I hung up. But I remember her voice was the first one where
wow.
I finally knew.
Wow.
Claire, I do remember, I was going to say a while ago, I remember when we walked up to their house, which we had no vehicle at that time because our car was totaled too and smashed up from the tree and yeah. everything else. And so actually, Wally, Joyce's brother, and Sister Debbie gave us a ride home that night from
I thought
their
they
house.
Did. Yeah.
But when we walked up there, I remember it was getting pretty dark that night, and there was power lines down everywhere to the point of, it was almost as nervous walking home as it, walking back to the house as it was.
Over.
Yeah.
And it was.
And they did. They were just driving over, but we were walking, and I remember shining, mm-hmm. trying to find flashlights and stuff to shine to look for wires.
And it was just eerie.
Yeah.
Just an eerie feeling.
Yeah, the whole night.
You know, no power and quiet and yeah, I kind of remember that a little bit.
21 days without power at that time.
Really? I didn't realize that. So I wanted to, now I kind of remembered most of that, but I did want to hit a couple things before we wrap this part up. Grandma mentioned the night before we have a youth rally at Set Free Ministries in Seneca. And when I was going onto the church Facebook, I actually saw the church make this post on Saturday. We have youth rally tonight at 6:00. And I was thinking, man, just the day, you know, it's just another day, another youth rally. But this was a unique youth rally, and I had even sent a few texts before we met and said, am I remembering this right? That a few of those that did end up losing their lives in the tornado in the church, were at the youth rally that night, and just maybe one of those God
precious,
things or whatnot, but there was a unique long altar service, and what's interesting is, you know, one of the Moses who lost his life in the tornado was one of those that was at the altar at a youth rally where, you know, the general focus is the kids and the youth, and to think that, you know, this man who, you know, him and I think he was probably up there with his daughters and praying with them, and they spent a long time up there praying that night. And I remember you guys were remembering that with me, that they had both spent a lot of time at the altar that night before.
Can I say something really quick, Clay?
No.
Come
I'm
on.
Just kidding.
Come on.
I'm just
no.
kidding.
I Clay said that Moses lost his life, and I do want to say that Brother Moses, being right there when everything was happening, he gave his life. He gave his life that night for those that he was helping underneath the rubble.
Yeah. Yeah, we had that youth rally that night, and then the next day with those that we did lose in the church, it was very I don't even know if there's a word for it. But there was just some unique things that happened, and some unique things surrounding the people that were lost or passed away. For instance, my great grandma, my grandma who Dad found, it wasn't a week or two before we had a cardboard testimony service, and she holds up a cardboard sign that says, "Oh, death, where is your sting?" And she had lost 3 children in the span of 16 months or something
six
like
months.
6 months, 6 months to 8 months six, or so. Months. Yeah, lost 3 children within that time. I mean, just heartache for a mother, and had held up this sign declaring, "Oh God, oh death, where is your sting?" You know, and was just clinging to the hope that she had of seeing them again, and if she was ready. I mean, by all means,
not a doubt.
Absolutely.
And then with the others that we have lost, I just know that even up to the night before, there was like almost God, just His mercy and His love and His grace was just like, no, I'm preparing. It was almost like looking back, it was so God ordained.
I know, Clay. I know when we were standing there. And they were, we were having to take bodies to different places. It was so chaotic in Joplin because so many people were injured and they had so much going on. And Sister Latina come over to Brother John and I, and, you know, she had lost her daughter and her sister. But she said, and she looked at us both, she said, "I know she was ready. I know where she's at. And I know that she was ready." And the one thing, I guess, that I would think at that time, you know, but I thought, you know, that really took faith to say that at that time of death. But she knew her daughter lived for God. And that was an awesome thing. And she just looked at us both. I know that she was ready. I know what you preached she grabbed a hold of. And it was, you know, it was a little bit of comfort for us at that time, but,
right.
But you know, that's the main thing. The main thing is we do not know. And so many people would come up to us even the next day, several days to come, and even at church the next Sunday, saying, "I'm backslidden. I need to get right with God." I mean, they knew, because it's just normal Sunday, but how many people knew that Sunday was going to, people were going to lose their lives?
Right. Right. Yeah, it's just another regular Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I had even, like I said, when you're looking at the Facebook, you're thinking, man, you have no idea. You have no idea. And a big wake-up call for some, I'm sure, as you're saying. I did want to say that, speaking of just the individuals that that we personally knew in the church, I know one stands out in particular, Natalia, who was just a year older than me. She had posted that night she was going to sing a special.
Yes.
And I mean, I know this was huge surrounding. They talked about this in her funeral, I believe, and there may have even been some articles written about it. But and as I went back on her Facebook the other day, she was a poster on Facebook, first off.
Yes,
and so I guess I did not remember that, but there was like, I was like, man, she posted a lot of stuff, you know, and a lot of song lyrics and then a lot mm-hmm. of talk about Ozark and school and stuff.
Sure.
And so, but the last thing that she had posted was lyrics to the song she was going to sing
mm-hmm.
that night in Christ Alone.
Oh, okay.
And the just so happens the lyrics that she posted was from the last verse. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny.
Mm-hmm.
No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from His hand. Till He returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. I mean, that just sums it up, right? And you think the power in that, she not knowing what's going to happen, that she wasn't going to get to sing that song that night, post that verse, and that's just so powerful, and really speaks into the legacy of who she was and everything too. So I know this has been a pretty somber hour. So is there anything else you guys wanted to add? I wanted to take time and I've kind of instructed, I guess. I was just like, let's just talk about that night right now. And then we'll get into the everything that comes afterwards, because there's so much. And even when Chance and I were talking about the tornado, and we did want to talk about it. We were saying, man, there's like, you could do so many different avenues, you know, with the things that went on after the tornado. And so I said, let's just talk about that night and the things surrounding that night and get a couple perspectives from you guys. And then we can hit that at a different time. So was there anything else you guys had?
Of that night?
Yeah.
Just so many things, you know, that one thing that I thought was kind of after we had were standing there and we had all of the men that were over there helping, you know, at that time pull lumber and stuff off of people and get people out. Linda Shy, all of a sudden, I don't know if they pulled her out or what, but all of a sudden she come up walking on the other side and started walking around the rubble, and I had forgot all about her, and here she come out walking around the building, wasn't hurt, wasn't scratched a bit, just, you know, here she come immediately say, Sister Joyce, what can I do to help? And I was hanging on to some of the little Carmona children while they were working, trying to get the rest of the people out, and it started raining, I thought later, I don't even remember anybody pulling her out. I just remember her getting out, walking around that building, I thought, you know what, God was, I just praise God, she just got out of there, you know, I know that. I know that the people that came early that night came because they wanted to be in the house of God. And that just, you know, that's, I don't know. I just know they come early. They were there. People are early crowd that kind of come early. But, you know, usually that crowd wanted to be in the house of God.
Right.
Amen.
Right. What's another interesting thing that, I don't know if you guys knew this, but later when I went to college, I worked with a lady at Petro, and I'll shout Michelle because I'll tell her I've mentioned her on here. Maybe she'll watch. But lady I worked with at Petro, we get to just talking one day, and she was in Dillon's that night.
Ooh.
And wrote it out in Dillon's and has an amazing story of that night as well. And even the connections, you know, we were connecting and like, oh my goodness, we probably passed each other, you know, and had no idea and stuff. And the connections that were made that night and the things that happened. And like you guys, sometimes there was people that would just show up, or you're like, where did this come from? Where did you come from? How did you survive? You know, my wife Alexa has some family that rode it out in a bathtub and the house was, I mean, there was nothing left. And we all, I'm sure, have different stories and testimonies of that. But yeah, just unreal. Unreal. Yeah.
We had people that were, you know, we had lost five, four in the church, and then Sister Oni down on 20th. But we did have several injured, too. You know, that were in different hospitals. Joplin was getting full. Some were to Springfield. We had a man in Fayetteville.
Took one to the hospital.
St. John's.
And then, of course, Mercy went down. And so Freeman was the only hospital that was taking. And then they had set up tents for people. But we had not only all of this going on, but we had so many people injured trying to, you know, check on them and find them. And every vehicle here was just demolished, except I know the Swifts, they drove their car out of here, and later when it hadn't got new windows and kept it for a while, you know, we just had several people injured besides all of those that we were dealing with that night. Mm-hmm.
Well, if you've hung with us, thank you, and like I said at the beginning, we know that this is a heavy topic, especially this time of year. I'm not sure when this will be coming out, but I know we're nearing the anniversary of the Joplin tornado, and so Thank you for hanging with us in this heavy topic, but it did, and we will discuss in the future episodes, massively impact the church. Massively.
Sure.
Oh, yes.
I mean, in so many different ways. And so if you're going to talk about the Joplin Full Gospel Church, the tornado was huge, and as far as impact and the things that took place afterwards and whatnot. So just something we had to discuss and wanted to just honor those and do the best we could with it. So we're going to go ahead and we'll end this episode with this, but I just want to encourage you. We'll try not to be as somber the next time and be a little more lighthearted. But thank you for listening, and we hope to catch you next time. Thank you so much.